Welcome to Careers in Your Ears, the careers podcast for PhDs and research staff at King's College London. I'm Donald Lush, one of the careers consultants working with researchers here at King's today, and I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Fawzi Abou-Shaheen, who's an innovation and communication specialist and who started his career in research. So welcome, Fawzi.
Hi, Donald.
Hiya, thanks for doing this. Thanks for joining us. So a predictable question to start with. Can I start by asking you to tell us a bit about your career history and what you're actually doing now?
Yes, certainly. Thank you very much for inviting me. So I was always interested in science as a little kid. I think I wanted to be a mad scientist. So I knew I wanted to do a PhD and ended up even doing a postdoc in material science. But I really wanted to explore the industrial applications of science. You know, how does the innovation and research actually impact people? And how do people make businesses out of it? So after I finished my first postdoc, actually, I wanted to go and understand how businesses worked. So I then spent 8 years in various commercial roles, learning important skills that I didn't know, such as sales, marketing, finance, of scientific ideas, and then also building a business case or building partnerships and collaborations. But I used the broad area of innovation and technology as a sort of safe platform because I could use my technical knowledge, so I wasn't overstretching myself. So after all of that time, I'm now in a position where I actually can start my own business to help spin-outs from universities commercialize their technology, pitch their research in a more engaging commercial way. And I've also used that experience to publish a book around career progression and professional development aimed at PhDs who are facing that challenge of leaving academia, called a Job Seeker's Diary.
Fantastic. We'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end. But what I was interested for now, I think you sort of hinted at it. You moved out of academic research. It sounds like to broaden your experience. But what was it that took you out of academic research as a career?
Like I said, I really enjoyed the research element. I loved learning why things happened. But there were two kind of key areas why I left. I enjoyed the mental stimulation, and you get plenty of that at university, solving problems. But there were so few job opportunities, especially when you realise that in order to become a postdoc or, you know, assistant lecturer, you need to specialise in that particular field. So I think I waited 6 months to get a postdoc after my PhD, and that was, you know, for a position in Finland for a fixed term, single year contract. So I had to leave the UK with no friends. And while I liked the country, it was very far away and it wasn't easy to get home and visit the people I wanted to see. And then after the year, it still took a long time to find suitable opportunities. So I think the first reason is that there are so few opportunities and they're all fixed term contracts and you don't really see promotions that quickly in academia, and that presents a financial barrier, which is why so many women and people of a lower socioeconomic background, you know, tend to leave academia. At the same time, there weren't that many opportunities to learn business or management skills and how my work was actually going to impact society. So for those two reasons, I actually took an active approach to look for industry roles where I can apply my science and solve problems and find something mentally stimulating.
Great. So when you were starting out on your PhD, did you imagine you'd be doing what you're actually doing now? Did that ever cross your mind, or did you just see a scientific career just stretching out into the distance?
Absolutely not. I think all I wanted to do was just be a scientist thinking about things. I didn't have a clue about so many things. I didn't understand the importance of, a solid business case if you want to sell something. I felt people would just buy science because it's interesting or exciting. And I think that's partly my own ignorance, but also the academic environment doesn't always or hasn't historically presented the commercial argument for research. And so I think My first job was a technical marketing lead, and I presented webinars and wrote scientific adverts to show how commercial products would work in a scientific setting. And I really loved being the expert, the go-to person who could explain how this technical piece of equipment worked. But I didn't really have many other skills. Like, I couldn't actually sell something confidently. I didn't know how to call up someone cold and try and talk to them about the product. So then I started to actively look for roles which allowed me to, you know, exposed me to that kind of commercial way of thinking without without losing too much track of the science that I'd come to know and love. So I found a position which was a business development role in a government research lab called the National Physical Laboratory. And there I had to call up technical directors of companies I'd never met, understand about, you know, 30 different research groups' capabilities, and then develop proposals based on that. So I was suddenly no longer the technical expert, because, no one is expected to learn 30 different types of science. But really, I had to stretch myself in ways to communicate broad science in a very non-technical commercial way. So it was a steep learning curve, and I didn't know how to do well at the start. But after many years, I'm now far more confident to build relationships and try to find the kind of commercial solution that connects different partners together. And that's valuable not just for selling research, but also with helping clients who are looking for Innovate UK grants and proposals, helping them really identify why something is worth funding, or why an investor should invest in something. What's the benefit for all the parties involved? So I think when I started out, I just focused on the science. And now, after many years, I've now realized that the outcome is good science, but the motivation, you know, has to be good business sense. And I think that's something you have to learn. It's not taught.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And it's certainly something that is not discussed much in the careers world relating to researchers. So a question I hadn't thought of earlier, but as you were talking about, you know, basically the fundamentals of getting someone to kind of go along with you to sell them an idea, what's your one top tip for that? If you're trying to persuade somebody to get involved in something, what would you do to make them do that?
That's really difficult, and I think it takes people a long time. I think, you know, quickly identify what they want, they want from a personal perspective, but also what they want from their role in a particular company or even in university. So, you know, if you're trying to sell something to the head of department, what is it they're after? Are they after a safe process, a quick solution? I think that will then allow you to know how to pitch it to them. Yeah. So if you want to, you know, something really trivial, get your manager to pay for you to go to a trip to America. What do they want in return? Do they want, you know, promotion of their research? Do they want, you know, a new collaboration that you're going to identify? That's the way to sell it, I think.
Brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, understand your audience. Yeah, absolutely. So thinking about what you do now, it sounds very varied. So is there a typical day, or what's a day like for you? What do you spend your time on? What are the good bits? What are the bits that challenge you?
I've just started my own business, so my days are hectic, and I'm actually working harder than ever. As I may mention, I'm now looking to be an innovation advisor, helping technical spin-outs from universities. So I spend my time creating new opportunities, meeting new people, you know, research directors or, you know, heads of new collaboration environments, just to kind of discuss ideas. And these take many months to develop. So that's like a long term pipeline. And at part time, I devote myself to more immediate revenue generating work. So helping companies write successful grants, or individual researchers, you know, I do some personal coaching on their careers. So between those two things, I'm working on more immediate revenue opportunities and then developing long-term larger value ones. And then any spare time I have, I try to volunteer at universities to give engaging career advice, pretty much like this podcast.
Right.
Based on, you know, all the things I've learned, and with the aim of making sure people don't make the silly mistakes I did.
Fantastic. Would you be willing to talk about a mistake you might have made?
Yes, I think what the most difficult thing is that I have to really say embarrassing things. On the surface, I don't really want to tell people that I was quite arrogant or that I was ignorant. But unfortunately, that's the truth. And if I really want to make sure other people don't make those mistakes, I have to be prepared to admit that, you know, not seeking help, whether financial or mental health help, really impacted me. It made me, it meant that I didn't get a job as quickly as I could have, not being prepared to think that I was wrong meant that I wasn't writing CVs as well or as articulated as they could have been. I think those were kind of the key mistakes that I thought I knew it all.
Right. Great. Thank you so much for sharing that. You know, that takes courage to do that kind of thing, but I'm sure people listening will be appreciative of it. So it rounds up nicely to sort of my next thought, which was you've tried to kind of distill all the things that you've learned so far into a book to help people find their way. So what was it like actually putting a book together and getting it out there? What actually happened?
I think it was difficult in some places and easier than others, and all on the whole, it was really quite fun. So the book is called A Job Seeker's Diary because it is essentially that. It's a collection of notes that I made during my struggle to find employment. And I found that no one was really talking about unemployment, especially for PhDs. You wouldn't come to expect that, but actually there's so many PhDs who do face unemployment, and it's not something to be ashamed of. So when I left academia, I was actually unemployed for almost a year. Again, partly because of a lack of understanding of how to apply for jobs in industry, to use the right language. I think at one point I felt it was wrong to apply for two jobs at the same time, just in case I got both. How would I deal with that? I think, again, that's an example of the kind of unintentional arrogance that I felt, purely because no one had taught me how to apply for a job, really. So I got a lot of rejections, I think, you know, on the order of 100 or so. And I suffered mental health illness like depression because, you know, here's a seemingly smart person who's highly qualified with a PhD, but he can't find a job. You know, am I useless to the world? Did I waste my time? Why does no one want to hire me? There's a lot of concerns that I know people in my situation have felt about. And, you know, I run a lot of careers webinars around mental health because so few people talk about this kind of thing. Eventually, so while I did look for career advice books, all of them were kind of too generic, aimed at school leavers, rather than helping, say, PhDs with specific technical experience explain it in a more transferable way or in a commercial way. So at the lowest of lows, I ironically applied my scientific inspection to my own failures, started to look at where I was going wrong and what I could do to improve, and kept notes on what I was doing. And eventually I started kind of getting better and better and getting interviews and getting really good feedback until I kind of got my first job. And then over the years, I've kept those notes and added to them. And in the obviously when the coronavirus madness hit, there was a huge amount of unemployment. So I thought now's a really good time to actually put all those notes together in a book and try and help people, you know, help a community I understand and are often overlooked. So the long and the short of it is that I wrote a proposal, you know, used the business skills that I'd learned to sell it to the publishers. I did get a deal, but I actually thought I was going to do it myself instead. I think it was more commercially viable that way. So then I raised the Kickstarter, then paid for an editor. And I think it was just published, you know, mid-April 21. And it reached the second bestseller on Amazon's business career section. So after all that journey, you know, I'm glad that I could turn the kind of the misery and the mistakes that I'd made to try and help people. And that's really the whole reason I wrote it in the first place.
Fantastic. So you work with people and, you know, you've written the book as well. What's the most common piece of advice that you give to the people you work with? What's the thing that kind of comes up over and over again?
This was, you know, something I was talking to a friend recently about. If you don't ask, you don't get.
Right.
And I really learned that the hard way. Opportunities don't fall into your lap often. Sometimes, you know, you might be lucky, but the reality is they don't. You have to work hard for them. If you want a job, you know, you can ask the hiring manager a question if you're well suited. You don't have to wait for the opportunity to come up. If you want a promotion, ask your team leader how to do so. Don't just wait for them to tell you. If you want advice from a friend, you know, do reach out to them and say, look, I'm trying to write this presentation. Could you review it? Specific things really help. You know, don't ask a friend, you know, I want a job. That's really open-ended. But if you say, can you help me edit something? Then they're more likely to support you. And that works true, you know, if you want to ask someone out on a date, you know, ask them out. It's not just, you know, career related. I think if you wait around, no one's going to come to you. No one's going to help you. It just doesn't happen. But asking will give you the answer you want immediately. Even if it's a negative, at least you know, and then you can stop worrying and move on.
Yeah. No, I had a colleague who used to say no was a good answer. So at least you can move on. So how do you, if you're asking somebody something and you think they might not want to do whatever it is you're asking for, how do you kind of psych yourself up in that kind of tense situation?
I think this relates a little to the kind of earlier question about finding out what they want. What are they looking for? And are you able to offer it? And then the other part of it is being mentally in the right place. I think it can be really daunting trying to sell something, especially if you've never done it. And I was actually really nervous when I started selling for the first time. But I recognized I could break it down to something like, this person I'm trying to sell something to, would they stand to benefit from what I'm trying to get them to do or to get them to buy? If it's yes, then why should I be ashamed or embarrassed? Really, it's more that I'm nervous because I've not done it before. Now by compartmentalizing that, I can rationalize why I don't feel comfortable, you know, get it pushing someone to do something. And it's more that I've not done it. Trying to think of any specific examples, none kind of come to mind, but
don't worry. I think that's really good advice, is kind of switching that framework around to the other person and working out what works for them is often really helpful. So you're now self-employed, you're running your own business, and you've started that recently. How's that going on? What's the challenge of being, you know, the boss of the whole operation and having to do everything?
I think the immediate obvious challenge is where's the money going to come from?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been in a position. I mean, really, the funny thing is, 8 or so years ago, I was unemployed, and now I've actively left jobs, and I get recruiters asking me to work with them, and I don't want to. I actively want to leave unemployment. So it's a really funny, irony. I think back then I wasn't prepared mentally. I didn't have the technical skills to, you know, formulate business plans. Now I'd written a business plan of what I wanted to do, set clear targets, and try to kind of quantify the opportunity I had ahead of me. So I know that universities want to spin out their technology, and I know that they typically struggle commercializing that and using commercial language. And I know that PhDs who tend to be working those spin outs don't always engage well with industry. They need someone who has a PhD to speak to them. So I know that I'm the right person, and I've got a rough business plan, and I've been smart enough to kind of save money to invest in myself. So that's the plan. And I've just kind of got to keep myself motivated. And I do, you know, rely on my book from time to time to think about, well, I faced a horrible challenge in my life. I'm sure I can do this. And I'm also realistic. So if I'm not so successful, or I'm not as successful as I'd like in 6 months, then I can always go back and apply for jobs, and I think my CV would have benefited. Conversely, if I come close to reaching my intended target, then that's, you know, something I can promote it as well. So I'm open-minded, but I'm also realistic, and as long as I reassess what I'm trying to do, I think I'll go far.
Great, thank you very much. So we've come to the end. Thank you so much for your insights there, and for your honesty and openness. I really appreciate that, and I'm sure people listening will as well. So join us next time on Careers in Your Ears, and we'll be continuing our exploration of researcher careers